Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome in to Cody and Gold.
Are you ready?
You are clear to engage.
Showtime!
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
And he's just thrown Mike Matheny out of the ballgame. And I think Cal Eldred, too. Yeah, I haven't seen this kind of fury from Cal Eldred ever. He is protecting his pitcher, and Matheny is holding him back right now. But this has been Angel Hernandez's history in Major League Baseball. He has a short fuse, and he challenges managers. And Cal Eldred, I have never seen him this angry. Matheny is still face nose to nose with Angel Hernandez. He's been thrown out of the game too. And now Singer's going to get thrown out of the ball game. And Whit Merrifield is holding him back after Singer started jawing at Angel Hernandez.
Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
Angel Hernandez sucks in every single way. Why do I have to watch him every single day? While he guesses and prays, why don't we just go ahead and fire him right now?
I just want you to know that when I was in break, I went and cut a new one.
Another one?
Yeah, just, well.
All right, we'll get to that one in a little
like
bit.
Just for like the 2 seconds I was in there. Well, I just thought, like, I was kind of sad we only had three of them.
Okay.
So I went over there and I found one of the other music beds from one of the other jingles and I cut one more.
Cody is on a jingle roll at this point. This is 3 days in a row, and I think you've created like 10 of them.
I hope Angel Hernandez does something other horrible tonight that affects the Cleveland team so that I can be complimentary, maybe.
That's the thing. Like, you got to be on watch this afternoon for Angel Hernandez as well. Like, how is he going to screw this thing up? Because he continues to be the biggest story out of the series. Not a baseball player, a baseball umpire. We'll talk more about Angel Hernandez, don't worry, before we hand things off to Vern. He's got his on-deck show getting you set for the Royals this afternoon, trying to salvage this series, avoid a four-game sweep at the hands of the Cleveland Indians. And reminder also, if you missed it, we made a fun announcement. We're excited about the Cody and Gold road trip. We're heading down to Arkansas to see Bobby Witt Jr. next Saturday, May 15th, to check out the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. And so we'll head on there. Why don't you hang out with us, watch some baseball? We've got a Bobby Witt Jr. t-shirt if you use the promo code to buy the ticket. If you're trying to figure out where you can get all this done, you can go to the Facebook page. There's an event up there. Also on Twitter at 610 Sports KC, at Cody Beats App, at Alex Gold, and at Steven Serta. You can select section 105. It has all the details there. Come watch some baseball, one of the future stars of this Royals team. And before and after, we'll hang out in Fayetteville a little bit. It'll be a fun day.
Not only do I create jingles, I personally designed this shirt. And we're going to find some stuff to do down there before. Like, Gold and I are going to leave in the morning, probably 10, 10:30. We'll be there in the afternoon. We're going to find some spot to go hang out, have some food, have a drink before the game starts. And yeah, we'll be in Arkansas for the night, kid-free. So you can plan on that. I'm going to find something to do after the game as well. We'll keep you apprised on our Facebook page. We created an event page on the 610 Facebook page. That'll give you the details of where we're planning on meeting, where we'll plan on going for that. But as we do that, obviously, we'll let you guys know where we end up being on that Saturday, but we know we'll be at the game.
Yeah.
6:05 start to watch Bobby Witt Jr. play. Free t-shirt just for buying a $9 ticket.
Yeah.
Think of this as buying a $9 t-shirt if you want. And all you got to do is drive down and watch the Northwest, you know, go to Northwest Arkansas to watch the Naturals play.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. And if you want the shirt, you do have to actually go to the game. You do need to come down to Arkansas if you're just looking at the shirt. That's just
we want us all wearing the shirt in the stands, yeah. You know? Like,
that's why you got to select
group photo action.
Section 105. The details are up on Facebook and Twitter because we want to all hang out there. Be a lot of fun. I do see people on the text line saying, watch him get called up the day before. Don't be saying that. Don't be saying that.
Why would you put that on there?
I think we feel pretty good about it. It's early enough in the season.
I think we have sizes up to XL in those. I didn't choose the sizes on those. I'm going to say up to XL. There might be a double X sprinkled in there, but we'll make sure we get you covered. Would you like to hear a new jingle before we talk more about the Royals?
Let's hear it.
It was very quick. I obviously didn't have a lot of time to prepare. I just found the music. Angel Hernandez should retire today.
That's it. I wish. He's not going anywhere.
I hope he's hearing
soon.
All these jingles today.
I'm sure he's listening to us. Yep. Yep.
On this Tech jingle might be even better than my doing it for company jingle game.
He's too busy trying to figure out how he can make sure he's the top story in baseball. You know, someone threw a no-hitter yesterday in baseball, and Angel Hernandez.
A local kid from
Means.
Who played at Gardner-Edgerton and grew up in Olathe.
Yeah, John Means. Really cool story. Olathe went to Gardner-Edgerton, as you said. His brother's in the minor league system with the Royals organization. That on SportsCenter was not the, like, other than when it first happened, was not one of the leading topics. It was the Royals and Angel Hernandez and Brady Singer getting ejected and Mike Matheny getting ejected and all of that. That's all you need to know. I mean, that's uh-huh. the biggest problem with Angel Hernandez.
Yes.
An umpire should never be a bigger story than the actual stars of the game.
It was Brady Singer, a young, good pitcher, outdueling the reigning American League Cy Young winner to battle for first place of the division early in the season. And the story was Angel Hernandez. The night after it was, the story was Angel Hernandez. We played three games in this series, and Angel Hernandez has been the larger story in multiple games. That cannot be good.
So I don't know what he's got in store this afternoon. Royals baseball here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern's on deck show coming up at noon. So we were looking around and saw that someone actually thinks the Royals would actually be better off with Mondesi not at short and Nicky Lopez still playing short, like as in for the long term. What are we doing?
I heard this.
This is insane. I refuse to believe. You told me about this. I refuse to actually believe someone thinks truly that Adalberto Mondesi is a worse shortstop than Nicky Lopez. Nicky can play second base. No problem with that whatsoever. But the minute Mondesi is ready to go, he instantly upgrades the shortstop position. No questions asked. It's done.
What are we doing here? Like, I know that Adalberto Mondesi is a frustrating player. I get it, man, because he shows promise and then then he flails a little bit and then he shows promise and then he gets hurt, right? So he's not on the field. But there is an unquestionable gap between what you can get in Alcides and what you can get in Adalberto Mondesi and what you can get in Nicky Lopez. There's an unquestionable difference. And I know you're going to be like, well, you know, the batting average, the on-base percentages over the course of their career are probably kind of similar. The slugging's not. The ability to hit for extra base hits is not. The ability to steal bases is not. Get triples, get doubles is not. The defense is different. Plus, the cap is significantly different. Nicky Lopez can turn into a nice on-base player. We've seen that actually for the first, 28 games so far this season. 29 games so far this season. But anybody who is suggesting that you would rather, if like, let's say in 2 weeks, Adalberto Mondesi, you'd rather just have Nicky play short and just move Mondesi the outfield or put him at second or let him come in and out of the lineup. That's ludicrous. It doesn't even make sense for development of these players, for the future of the organization, for a million different reasons. But a lot of it just because of talent. Like, we got to talk about caps with players. And whether you want to admit or not, there are sometimes caps with players. They can only be so good.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's been frustrating at times with Mondesi where he'll get hot in September like we saw last year after being brutal prior to that. And then now we know the injury history and all that. But what we saw in September, that's obviously absurd numbers that he put together. But that's what he's capable of putting together. to your point, that's not something you're going to see even ever happen for most players in baseball. As far as they're not, their potential's not even there. You're not going to do that consistently.
Their upper end isn't capable.
And it's
of
not.
That.
And this is not a shot at Nicky Lopez at all. It's just that the idea that he should be the shortstop and not Montesis is crazy. It's insane. Nicky Lopez is doing perfectly fine and better than perfectly fine, honestly, in the ninth spot in the order, and he has a good glove. And if you, all of a sudden you have Nicky Lopez at second base and Mondesi at shortstop, Dozier at third until eventually one day Bobby Witt gets called up and then they can figure out where they want to move Dozier and everybody can realign. But Witt is a, you know, Witt in right field is an upgrade. And all of that, like Mondesi immediately makes your defense. We've all been talking the last week about how the defense has really had issues. Mondesi solves, hopefully, that problem. And that's just a no-brainer at this point in time. I know people on the text line are saying, hey, we've had Mondesi for 5 years. He's a bust. Quit hoping he becomes something. We're not talking about being a superstar. If you're just comparing Nicky Lopez directly with Adalberto Mondesi and who's a better shortstop, I don't know how you can say, even we're just talking defense here. Take the hitting out for a second. Just defense. How you can say that he's not an upgrade. He absolutely is. Mondesi is.
But offensively, Mondesi has a better career batting average. Mondesi has
I'm just trying to separate the two. I'm with
base
you.
Percentage. Mondesi has a better slugging percentage. Mondesi has a better OPS. The one thing Nicky definitively does better than Adalberto Mondesi is be on the field. And I'm not saying that's insignificant.
And you do have to be available, no doubt.
Availability is an important factor in baseball. And I know, and I, that's why I understand Mondesi is frustrating, but that's taking too big of a leap. Like, a player being frustrating and saying, I'd rather just go, like, in a completely different direction, that's where, like, the leap becomes too great. It's not that you shouldn't be frustrated. Of course you should be frustrated by Mondesi. He hasn't fully realized his potential. He still is a career 226 hitter. Or no, he's more like a 250 hitter. But it's, and how does he only have like 1,000 at-bats considering he got in baseball when he was like 19 years old, right? It's, I understand the frustration, but the notion that you would go the other way, that's too much. The second Adalberto Mondesi is available
you,
to play in 3 weeks,
yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
absolutely
like there's no reason to worry about it because they'll have to figure out where they want to move everybody else. The one guy that we know where he'll be immediately is Mondesi at shortstop the minute he's available. They'll figure out where they're going to put everybody else. And again, we kind of went through the scenario. It makes sense. Move Nicky to second
base.
Witt
goes to right. Dozier goes to third. Everything changed. Nothing changes.
And then, you know, we'll fast forward a month from then. And depending on how everybody's performing and if Bobby Witt's performing well, then you can have that conversation and figure out where you're going to move people around and everything. And unfortunately, we know injuries will happen again at some point.
Of course.
Let's hope it doesn't happen to anybody. But it's baseball. It's going to happen. Someone else is going to be on the IL. That's a position player in the next 2 months. It's going to happen. Always does.
Yeah, and by the way, this is not none of this is a knock on Nicky's ability to play defense. I told you he should have won the Gold Glove for second base last year, and he should have. They're a better defense when both of those guys are in those spots.
Well, that's the point of
it. It's not... I understand. Like, potential is frustrating because potential will only get you so far, especially for a player who seemingly can't get on the field. But, I mean, I got to be honest. It's ludicrous. It shouldn't even be entertained. We shouldn't even have that conversation. Like, we shouldn't even kick that around as a notion. He's clearly the better option right now. Look, if it were Bobby Witt Jr., we might be having a very different conversation, but he's not available yet. Please come if you'd like to. Watch Bobby Witt Jr. play on the Cody and Gold Road Trip.
Yeah, cannot wait for that down in Arkansas next Saturday, as a matter of fact. We'll keep reminding you how to get
involved
with that.
Someone sent me a text earlier. The guy who donated $1,000 to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum with a garage sale. So we need to hit up JJ's in Fayetteville. Don't know anything about it. We'll see.
At the bar? That's the spot, huh?
Yeah,
if anybody knows Arkansas well in Fayetteville, let us know. Let us know. We're still trying to find the place to meet up as well before the Naturals game to watch Bobby Witt Jr. We'll get to some Chiefs football coming up in 20 minutes. The Chiefs red half hour also about 6 minutes away from the trash of the day. But it's never too early for all kinds of trade rumors to be out there in baseball, even though it's early May. And one of the interesting names is Chris Bryant. His name was interesting in the offseason as well. Chris Bryant, the Cubs slugger. There's a list off from the Ringer of the 10 most interesting Chris Bryant trade destinations. Just a couple of them that stand out, by the way. The Braves in there at 10, Angels at 9, the A's and Rays, they cheated. They put them both 8. They gave them a tie there. Cardinals are on the list, Phillies, but guess who's number 2? The Kansas City Royals. they put it as one of the more interesting. Here's what the paragraph said for them. Teams got off to a surprisingly strong start thanks to some young talent. Royals promoted Daniel Lynch, making him the latest of their highly touted pitching prospects to reach the majors. The Mariners could make a reasonable case as well. Either team, more likely Kansas City, given the state of the roster and division, could be a plausible playoff contender by the time trade rumor season kicks into high gear. And I imagine one of these unassuming small market franchises beating the rich teams for the biggest name on the trade market, a former MVP, charismatic superstar, who'd attain legendary status in either city overnight. So that's their reasoning for why the Royals, he thinks, would be an interesting destination for one Chris Bryant.
And then what? Soler goes to right? Like the question...
The offense, I don't have as big of a problem with the offense. If you told me there was eventually some a bullpen arm, although, again, like, is this the year you want them actually trading away anything?
The issue I have is the position. So, like, you know, he's played third, he plays outfield. Like, you know, like, where are we thinking Chris Bryant lands, I guess, is the question. And then who gets moved off their spot as a result of it? Like, Michael A. Taylor's not hit nearly as well, obviously, as he did in the early part of the season, Gold, as we well know. So that, you know, like, but it's, are you putting Witt in center for a playoff run? Like that feels like, and let's just say that's what they think they're at in July. They're in the Chris Bryant sweepstakes because they think that they're a playoff team. Well, he's played third base and outfield for the most part as Chris Bryant. So do you just put him in right, where we talked about putting Witt, and then Witt goes to second and then Nicky goes to the bench? Do you, like, position player? It's funny enough, like, I think I'd be interested in Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant has hit incredibly well so far this year. After a bad 2020, he's hitting like .308 with an almost .400 on base percentage and has a gajillion doubles and almost double-digit home runs already. He has been incredible.
I'm just kind of in the camp, though.
But I just don't know.
For this year, though, Cody.
It should just make it
that,
work.
That I, well, it's that, and knowing that if you really felt like you need to add another bat at some point, hopefully that guy is Bobby Wood Jr., right? And so, and I know Chris Bryant. I understand Chris Bryant won an MVP and is far more established and has proven more in the big leagues. I get it.
That would be a middle of the order bat. You just drop
in
your lineup.
In 2021, knowing what the expectation was, and I understand it. The pressure from the fan base, if it's around the deadline and the team is in first place, I get how it's all going to work. But I, like, is this the year you want to trade away, essentially, for him? You'd be trading away some pitching prospects, by the way, probably to make it happen. I don't know if this is the year I would want to do that, man. I know at some point we've talked about, like, next offseason maybe is the offseason where you feel like, okay, we need another bat in the order. We feel like this is the year we're going to go win the Central.
And he'll be a free agent next year.
And, yeah, but any whoever the hot bat is, that's fine. I just don't know if I... We're so early on this. It's May 6th, but trade deadline stuff. But
it feels
but,
like a premature year to be wasting the assets.
That's
is that
I'm
your
saying.
Feeling?
Yeah, like I don't know if I want them trading away anything of significance this year to go for it. That's, to me, a 2022 type of scenario.
Like, I feel like they could be in the
And bowl. You just told me, wait, Chris Bryant's a free agent? Mm-hmm. So you're trading away prospects for a half-year rental? I'm out. I'm good.
Yeah, you are. It's just a partial-year rental. He's a free agent completely
next
year.
I'm good.
Which means you could have... I mean, that means you could... trade for him and then sign him, which would obviously come with a different thing, but he's not going to sign that deal without visiting free agency in the following year. If the cost is low enough, yeah, I'm in only because at that stage, at the time that they would be making those moves, June, July, you'd have a pretty good idea that they had a shot at the postseason.
No, you would. And we know where the fan base will be. The pressure, everybody loves you to go make an aggressive move, no matter what position they're in. Nobody wants to hear, oh, well, we weren't supposed to be here. I get it. Like the momentum, if they're in first place for whoever the hot bat is or the pitcher, whatever they need at the time, whoever that is, everybody will want the Royals to trade for them. I understand how it's going to play out.
Of course they will. And they're with the less postseason teams, guess what they're going to be? More sellers, less buyers. So it'll be a buyer's market is what I'm telling you. Specifically for bullpen arms, which we think we absolutely know that Kansas City's probably going to be in that market based on the way the early part of the bullpen's going. But again, if it's not trading for a guy with years Gold, then are you taking the risk of buying a year too early? The Royals didn't overbuy in 14. They're like, welcome, Josh Willingham. And you're like, I mean, is this moving the needle? No, this isn't. They weren't after Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant feels like the, you know, you're a World Series team.
Yeah, and I mean,
that is my issue with it. Yeah. My non-issue with it is, my God, that makes your lineup so much better. Like, immediately better. You are an infinitely better team if Chris Bryant's there. And by the way, if you're going to make the move, you should probably just do it now. The Cubs would sell you Chris Bryant now. They're not in it. They know they're not in it. They'd sell you Chris Bryant right now. They would happily sell you Chris Bryant right now. They know that they're already in that market. Just so you know, so they would just do it now.
It's a pretty strong pass for me. Certainly, even right now.
It's crazy to say that just knowing how productive he's been in his major league career, but I understand that you're looking at this from a pragmatic state, which is not a bad way to look at it.
I mean, and if this team, if it was around the trade deadline, they would have, for me to be like, yeah, okay, go all in, they would not just have to be like a game out of first. They would have to be what they were a week ago, which was like on position.
Top of the American League and three games up in the division.
Yeah, like the best team in the American League or second best team. We're like, wow, they have a shot to go win the whole thing, not just win a series. Okay, like if you make a trade like that, you better be you better truly believe you've got a chance to make a run. These conversations are very, very early, but the Ringer did put that out as far as Chris Bryant, interesting trade destinations, and they listed Chris Bryant and the Royals there.
It was
number two.
Number two choice.
Mariners there at number three as well, who have obviously got off to a very nice start this season.
And Oakland might be a buyer at some point this
year. The Dodgers have cooled off, like the Royals have cooled off, and the Yankees all of a sudden have gotten white hot after a terrible
start. That's unfortunate. I was enjoying their poor start to the season.
Yes.
I was hoping for it to continue, but, you know, you can't win them all.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. Other than Angel Hernandez, there was a story.
Why wouldn't you just play one of my jingles?
I mean, we could do that as well.
It's fine.
Other than him, there's a story out of New York from the New York Post that, let's just say, someone had their Amazon account left open, and it's very easy for you to make purchases, as you know. This has kind of happened before, but a 4-year-old accidentally bought 2.6. I don't know why they listed it like that. $2,600. They listed like $2,600.
Yeah, so you're saying it
worth
weird.
Of SpongeBob popsicles on Amazon. Almost $3,000
a
worth.
Of that's the same age as my kid.
SpongeBob popsicles on Amazon. The kid wanted a cartoon ice cream. Didn't realize, obviously, he was purchasing cases of popsicles. And according to the story, now there's actually a GoFundMe. People feel bad for the parents. Like $3,000.
Because it turns out
popsicles
are non-refundable?
Yeah. So now people have set up a GoFundMe trying to help out the cost on that. 51 cases, 918 popsicles is what this kid ordered.
Legend.
Now, I was looking at the photo.
Legend. If you were a kid, by the way.
The Bugs Bunny ice cream out of the ice cream truck as a kid, that was the go-to.
You got
the gum that lasted for about three chews, and then the flavor was gone. But the Bugs Bunny ice cream from the ice cream truck, man, that was the go-to for me.
I used to go with the Ninja Turtles one. First, this kid's a legend. He ordered $2,600 worth of non-refundable ice cream. And look, someone's going to pay for it now that's not his parent, so even better. But if I'm the parent,
where are you storing all
that?
Isn't all the popsicles, aren't they
dumb? Did he also accidentally order a deep freeze?
So saying though, aren't the
I'm giving them all away.
51 cases, where are you storing it?
As a kid, I got to give them away, don't I?
Yeah,
like,
but it's
I can't let
gone.
My kid eat that SpongeBob ice cream. That is not teaching him the lesson to not order $2,600 worth of SpongeBob ice cream. The photo of the kid, he doesn't even look like he regrets it.
The kid,
he looks so happy with himself.
You let him eat it. That's your fault.
The photo.
That's my fault?
Yeah. Stop. Just to get the kid to be quiet, just stop giving him your cell phone and letting him walk away. Monitor what he's doing on that.
The photo's incredible. The kid has a huge smile. He's standing on top of the cases like he's the king of the world over there.
He looks so proud of himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
You got to buy it. You got to give him to all the neighborhood kids.
I truly wonder, like, you wouldn't have room for those if a bunch of them showed up at your house. They get ruined instantly.
No, I'd have to order a deep freezer.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, on top of the expense of that, I'd be, like, at Amazon ordering a deep freezer so that I could store all these popsicles. And then my kid would want them all the time, and I'd have to explain that, no. As a matter of fact, I'd eat them, and they couldn't. Like, this is a lesson learned. I just eat it in front of you.
Ice cream truck with your kids? Like, have you?
Haven't done that yet.
Never?
Uh-uh.
One went through, like, I was at my parents' house, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. One, like, happened to come through the neighborhood.
Did they take, like, Venmo?
That's what I was going to ask. Like, can you use stuff other than cash now? I would imagine they'd have to have upgraded by now. It can't be cash.
Do you think you can Apple Pay the ice cream man? My kids have, like, a jar full of money, so I could just make them pay for it themselves anyway.
Do they still have the Bugs Bunny ones?
Probably, yes.
If an ice cream truck drove by right now, I'd go out and get one.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really buy those in grocery stores, right? So where do the ice cream men get them from? Do they get them directly from the distributors?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Just specifically for ice cream men?
But now you can just buy them all on Amazon?
Because I can get Bomb
Pops
at the
store. Wait,
you mean
go on it? I can buy the Bugs Bunny thing on
that
Amazon?
That kid bought $2,600 worth of those.
I'm sure you can.
Okay, I'm checking now because I actually wouldn't mind just to see how terrible it tastes. Because I'm going to guess now it probably tastes horrendous.
Well, now, you know, so what? We're going to bring this in with the sunshine, the drink from Wit?
We've figured out where to get
that. We have multiple things we have to taste this. We did find out where to
Bugs
get that.
Bunny
thanks to Wit.
Ice cream. He did. He let us know for sure the locations for that. Bugs Bunny ice cream. I see the magnet. I don't know if you can buy it. Bugs Bunny ice cream bars. I don't see any. No. Now, the SpongeBob ones exist, clearly, unless he bought them all out.
I guarantee you can buy them somewhere. Just go to Amazon.
The SpongeBob one's way easier to find. There's no Bugs Bunny one. There's Spider-Man ones. There's every other character.
Someone said Slimer was delicious.
What's that?
What was your favorite one, sir?
What's
that was
Slimer?
The green Slimer from Ghostbusters?
That's Slimer?
That's Slimer.
I used to get the Ninja Turtle one all
I got
the
Ninja
I think
Turtle
they're
one.
They're
that
all
was
the same kind of ice cream, aren't they?
Yeah, I think you just got the like character you liked. They all seem like the same kind of ice cream.
Yeah, I think you can order whichever one you want. It's going to be the same.
Yeah, but I want the Bugs Bunny one. I mean, that's the whole thing. The kids wanted the Bugs Bunny one. That was the thing. Nobody wants just the SpongeBob one.
He's a SpongeBob fan. That's why he wanted it.
I think I was a Ninja Turtle guy.
Serta, you just order Avengers ones now. Any Avenger character as possible. Like if there's a Thanos ice cream, it's game over. Boxes being delivered.
Let's not sleep on those like Sunday ones with like the crunchy outside and the creamy middle.
The Sunday ones.
I'm not the ones with the characters on them. No. The like eclair ones.
Oh yeah, the strawberry.
The strawberry chocolate
ones.
Eclair ones. Let's not sleep on those.
The strawberry ones are the way to go. I still buy boxes of those at the grocery store sometimes.
I just want to make sure we're not sleeping on those. That's all.
Incredible. A nice hot summer day.
Now I want both pizza and ice cream.
Sounds like it's perfect. We're off here at noon. Are we going to get pizza and ice cream? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, that's what I'm leaning towards.
Something like that.
Like after all this conversation, yes, of course I'm absolutely going that way.
That is the trash of the day. Coming up in 90 seconds, Sir has got a fantasy flash for Trevor Lawrence. We'll also get back to the Chiefs, and I think Cody's a little too worried already.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Be sure to check out the grand opening of the all-new FNBO location, now open off Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. And while you're there, be sure to look for the ultimate fan display and then text in the keyword for your chance to win the ultimate baseball fan prize pack. That includes, how about 4 tickets to see the boys in blue versus the Redbirds, a mini baseball tailgate grill, and a $50 gift card for all your supplies needed with that at your local Price Chopper, and a $250 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors to stock up on some of that game day swag as well. The grand opening of the all-new FNBO location, now open off Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, just a half hour left for us on the show today, so we will talk a little more Royals because we're going to hand things off to Vern for the On Deck show at noon. Final game of this four-game series against the Indians. Royals, of course, trying to avoid the sweep, and it'll be Danny Duffance, the guy you want on the bump. He has been fantastic this year. Can he keep it rolling? And I think Mike Matheny, as you said, he talked earlier this morning, he was calling today kind of a character test type of game for the Royals based on not only the losing streak, but also everything that went on last night with Angel Hernandez and the ejections and everything. So we'll talk some more Royals before we hand things off to Vern. But you're panicking. You're a little too worried.
Panic is strong. Like,
okay.
But concerned, yes.
Why? So the Chiefs signed linebacker Kamaleh Correa, who's been in the league for 5 years. Would imagine the deal is not for very much money. I haven't seen the dollar amount. He's been in the league for 5 years. He's 27 years old. And you're not happy.
Why did they just spend second-round picks on linebackers?
Because he's an edge rusher more than a linebacker.
He's going to get playing time, isn't he?
I think he's more of an edge rusher. I think he's going to be more used as an edge rusher. And it's a nothing
that,
deal.
Then I can
and it's a camp, and he's going to be a camp, you know, camp competition guy. Kamaleh Correa. Not just because he's a Boise State guy, but I think it's fine.
What is with like all the Boise guys lately?
They put out some good talent.
I feel like there's been like a run lately.
Charles Leno Jr. is a free agent from the Bears.
Like everybody we're talking about on this show lately went to Boise State. If they use him primarily as an edge rusher, I can live my life. If they sign another linebacker this offseason, yes, I'm going to be frustrated. Because any veteran linebacker who comes in here is at risk of taking playing time away from the linebackers who they've just spent consecutive back-to-back third-round picks on. I want Nick Bolton to play.
Yeah.
I want Willie Gay to play.
So do I.
I want them to play the maximum amount. Look, I think that there's a chance that they're like, you're right, and they are just going to use him primarily as an edge rusher. And they need help in that area. Remember, we had said that we were interested in Melvin Ingram and we were interested in multiple other edge rushers. And if that's what they're going to do, if they think he can play that role for them, because obviously what you're talking about is like when he's an edge rusher but named a linebacker is he would typically play that in a more 3-4 system than what they had grown used to. So they call him an edge rusher. My question is that how they're going to use him?
No, and that's and look, I don't
know
for sure.
If they aren't going to use him like a traditional linebacker, then he's taking away time from the second round picks, and then I don't get it.
I obviously don't know for sure how they're using him. I just would not be surprised, given where they are at number-wise linebacker, if they view him more as that edge rusher. Now, if they go in 2 days sign Melvin Ingram, then I'll be like, well, then I don't know. All right, but right now he's potentially going to fit in as an edge rusher, and it's just it's a low cost deal we would imagine, and so it brings some more competition, and we'll see how they utilize this. I know you know everybody talks about they're worried that all these additions and Ben Niemann's still going to play a ton. Who knows? When you start getting if at camp some of these guys show out, maybe it does equate to a little bit less Ben Niemann being out there. I know everybody rolls their eyes and thinks that Ben Niemann's still going to find a way to play a ton of snaps. But if you start having some actual talent behind him, like if you have Willie Gay improves and Nick Bolton's who we think he can potentially be, and then you bring in a veteran in Kamaleh Correa, like I think there's a chance that you could actually see that get adjusted for the first time in a couple of years.
The thing I can get on board with it about, because that's what I told you part of the reason I had an issue with the position linebacker, not the player in Nick Bolton, being taken in the second round is Spagnuolo has shown a willingness to move things around quite a bit, right? Like he's shown a willingness to be like, oh, we'll be three safeties now, and well, we don't have three safeties now, so we're going to have to do these things instead. And move those guys around. I think, to me, if you're willing to do that, bringing in Kamaleh Correa might be, look, we're going to play him a little bit at linebacker, but mostly in pass rush situations, which means he is an edge. Or we think he can just play edge, and we're going to put him on the opposite. Like, we're going to have Jaron Reed and Chris Jones somewhere near the middle. We're going to have Frank Clark there, and then sometimes Kamaleh Correa is going to come off the end to blitz. I'm for getting more pass rush. It's just like, the more you invest, and I, by the way, I assume Kamaleh Correa will come in under the the minimum that essentially everyone's trying to come under this year in order to not screw up the comp pick formula.
Yeah, but that's...
So I assume he'll come in under $1.25 million or whatever.
I believe, Serta can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that, like, now that it's post-draft, I don't think even comes into play at all anymore. Like, for these guys. Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not even worried about, you know, like, the number necessarily as much as I would just prefer that... They don't put, like you're saying, hey, it's good to have competition everywhere. I'm like, yeah, except for when you draft second round linebackers and I want them to play if you're going to draft them there.
Yeah, I just think it's a versatile player that they get here. And we'll see how, as things progress, he's 27 years old. He has, you know, he's bounced around the league already. But, you know, I think most people, Chiefs fans, probably just recognize the name from when he was all over the field in the AFC title game when the Chiefs beat the Titans a couple of years ago. He was all over the field. Was the most impactful defensive player on that Titans team that day. I understand the Chiefs offense rolled him, but I'm just saying, yeah, he was a guy that was over the field. So why not? This is the third signing in the last 24 hours the Chiefs have made. All guys that are low-cost veteran additions. The safety, Will Parks, who played with the Broncos and Eagles, and then the wide receiver, Chris Finke, who I guess he's not a veteran. He's who knows what he's going to actually be. Maybe just a body. The guy was a grad.
Sure. That's probably a body.
Yeah. Which someone else fine. To catch the football.
Yeah, there's versions of that too. By the way, normally we would do it at 12:05, but if you want to be caller number 5 right now, just listen to our show every day at 12:05. We're going to make it 11:35 today because we're off. And you can win $30 in Kansas Lottery Sweet Escape prize pack and qualify for your own sweet staycation for two with an evening stay at the Hotel Indigo Kansas City downtown, including dinner for two and a pair of tickets to catch the Boys in Blue take on Boston on June 20th. All you got to do is be caller number 5-913-576-7610. Normally at 12:05, but we're off the air by then.
Yeah, 12:05 throughout the month of May. So I was going around last night. I was looking at just CBS Sports, and they put together what I thought was an interesting list. Normally, some of these lists, you're like, okay, whatever, another list. But this one was kind of intriguing because of the names that are involved in it. So we talk about Clyde, and I think a lot of people were bummed out about him last year, even though he had 1,100 yards and missed a couple games, still got 1,100 yards. We joked about expectations last year and what you guys had as in, like, I think
your expectations landed pretty close to what you had.
I just think everybody's expectations were so high that he had 1,100 yards and people were bummed about it. Like, that just tells you where the expectation was. I get it. They spent a first round pick on a running back. So anyway, they went through at CBS Sports and ranked every running back that was drafted in the first round since 2000. Every single one. And there's, 46 plus on this list? And
48.
48. And look, number one on the list is LaDainian Tomlinson, by the way, if you're wondering. Adrian Peterson's 2. Marshawn Lynch is 3. Steven Jackson's 4. And Jamal Lewis is 5. Just to give you an idea.
Just forget about Steven Jackson. He had a good run.
He did. But as we know with running backs, it's a great run for that. You got the 3-year window, that 4-year window.
Remember Atlanta after, and he was just like,
I don't remember that part. No. Well, maybe that's why I don't remember that part. No. I remember the Rams days, and that's about it. But Clyde comes in the 40s. Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes in at 44 out of 48, knowing it's just one. But a lot of these guys, he's got a chance, Cody, to leapfrog a ton here pretty quick because some of the guys in front of him played for 1 or 2 years. Clyde is
a factor in this list.
If you're wondering who he's around on this list, so who's worse on the list as far as David Wilson, I don't know who the hell that is. He was a pick from the Giants.
And Best is above him.
Rashad Penny, who was a pick a couple years back, and obviously Chris Carson's taken over that out in Seattle. Chris Perry, who was a 26th overall pick in 2004, played in the league for 4 years. Never really heard of that guy. Trung Candidate, recognize that name. He played with the Rams in Washington, 45. And then it's Clyde at 44. I put some more respect on his name. The guy had 1,100 yards in his rookie season.
He's already better than Javid Best, isn't he? If we're talking longevity, how long was Best even in the league?
2 years. 22 games. Yeah, Clyde's going to jump big time because Trent Richardson's at 41 on this list.
Okay, so after this year, he's passed, let's see.
He's going to
Javid Best, he's passed Trent Richardson. This list is probably making sort of so angry.
Beanie Wells.
Beanie Wells, the Ohio State kid? TJ Duckett? Ron Dane? How is he not better than these guys already?
Now, the one that doesn't make
sense. I
guess
some of it is because you know that they were already bad. Like Lawrence Maroney, yeah. I know didn't work out.
I was surprised, though. They had Josh Jacobs at 38, which is
he's only got 2 years of production.
Yeah, but if he's only at 38, then how high would you move Clyde? That's my question.
What are we doing on this list? This list is ridiculous.
Josh Jacobs should not be 38. He should be ahead of TJ Duckett. He should be ahead of Donald Brown. He should be ahead of, Ron Dane, although Ron Dane played in the league for 7 years.
How we out here saying that Leonard Fournette isn't at least as good as Rashad Mendenhall?
They got Saquon Barkley at 31 behind Felix Jones.
Sir, I think this list was making you legitimately angry earlier.
No, yeah, that's all this is. It's just to trigger people.
Are you mad that Darren McFadden is currently listed above Christian McCaffrey?
Yes. Darren McFadden had like one good year in the NFL. He could never stay healthy. Christian McCaffrey, last year was the first year he's ever been injured in his entire career. In his first 3 or 4 years in the league, he was definitively the best running back in football.
I guess the what could make you feel better about this?
They said their rankings focus primarily on overall career achievements. They said don't look too far into where current players rank on the list. They could very well end up on top once they call it career.
How many of these running backs do you think he can't pass? Because number 17 on this list is Joseph Addai. Addai had a fine career for a running back. It was short. He was on Super Bowl contending teams for the Colts. But if you told me right now, can Clyde Edwards-Helaire surpass the career of Joseph Addai, who is 17th on the list? The answer is yes. Larry Johnson, by the way, is 16th on this list. I think he can pass his career.
Now, I think so.
But it's around that list where you start saying, like, it's you know, you're asking for a lot.
They clearly put an emphasis, as they said, on overall career accomplishments, which means that in a year, when Clyde hopefully gets a ring next season, then Clyde should jump up like 25 spots. Like Larry Johnson, I want to downplay, 3,500 yards and 37 touchdowns in 2 seasons. So there was the stats to back it up, no question,
sure,
for Larry Johnson.
Yeah, 2 years,
he's
great
16.
Run.
Like the reason why I agree that it's an absurd list, but the way they're doing it is why Clyde is as low as he is. Like Zeke is 15th on the list, okay? And who's in front of him, you might ask? Jonathan Stewart? We know Zeke's
Jonathan
better.
Jonathan Stewart, he was in this league
now,
a long
Todd Gurley's
time.
Only 13th. Deuce McAllister's 12.
Every time I remember that Todd Gurley's like 27, I'm like, that's it? Like, isn't he? I mean, yeah. He's like sub 30, isn't he?
Knees are gone.
Been there. Like, I just feel like this
Thomas
list-
Jones at 8th.
So it's just about longevity is all we're gauging here, because it's offensive. Javid Best is listed ahead of Clyde.
Someone wanted to know, what list are we talking about that just tuned in?
On CBS Sports.
They ranked every running back that was drafted in the first round since 2000.
I think he could get in the top 20 this, like, if
well,
he
no,
went
he can't.
For 1,800 yards this year, he could be like top 20.
He should be, but I would say no. On their criteria, the answer is no. Zeke's only at 17. So no, I don't. So Clyde, in their mind, wouldn't get to top 20 this year. He should on this list based on the names, but they're basing it too much off of, you know, they're going through career accomplishments, and they only have Zeke at 17.
Javid
Beanie
Best.
Wells is listed ahead of Clyde.
Yeah. Javid Best's best year was 555 yards rushing. Yeah, why isn't Clyde above him?
That's insane.
His best scrimmage yard year was 1,042. His only other year from scrimmage was 677. Then he was knocked out for his career with concussion issues. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, it can't just be that, like, they just simply played longer.
Moreno is 27. kidding me?
By the way, Melvin Gordon is at 19. He's only 2 spots behind Zeke. Who do you think's had a better career? He's only 2 spots behind Zeke. Yeah, and 2 spots worth? More than that.
If they did this list for wide receivers, somehow they'd have, like, so many wide receivers above Calvin Johnson, it would make me infuriated.
Yeah. Well, the one that really should... The Christian McCaffrey one's the most mind-boggling one of the whole entire list.
I know, but Javid Best should be 48th.
Well, someone, yeah. I mean,
like, who's 48 on that list? Javid Best.
David Wilson, a second round, or the 32nd overall pick in 2012.
Man, who the hell's that?
He had 327 yards in one game, and then that was all he ever did.
He had to retire because of, like, head injuries.
A lot of these guys are injury. A lot of these guys are, like, Best had a terrible injury, too. Like, a lot of them is injury related. He had a too many, you know, Best had concussion after concussion after
David
concussion.
Wilson had 546 career yards.
I mean, Reggie Bush is number 11, and, like, Reggie Bush was. Had a long NFL career, but he was never considered the best running back in the NFL. He was like a gadget player.
Reggie Bush's best. Yeah, but at least look at his scrimmage yards. In 2006, Reggie Bush had 1,300 scrimmage yards. That's more than Clyde. 998 the following year, and then 3 more years when he was in Miami where he had 1,382, 1,278, 1,512 scrimmage yards. He had 9,000 career scrimmage yards at least. Like, I can respect that one. It's the ones I'm confused about. I think part of it is because Reggie Bush has almost as many receiving yards as he did rushing yards that you start wondering about running back.
Someone on the text line brought up Frank Gore. I searched. He's not on the top 48. If we're going longevity, how is Frank?
He was probably drafted before.
It's just first round picks.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not a first round pick.
Yeah. When was he drafted? Third round?
Yeah, he was drafted later. This is first round pick.
Second.
There you go.
He could seriously pass.
He would
half
be, but he, yeah,
he was a third.
It was a third round.
The top 10 is when you start to have issues of like getting in there. Top 10, top 15, because obviously Christian McCaffrey is going to finish somewhere ahead on this list if they redid it in 10 years. But it's just like
Frank Gore,
the notion that just like you played for a while is not enough.
Yeah, and he doesn't qualify for this list. That's true. But if he did, Frank Gore would be top 5 based on their criteria.
Yeah, just played a while. Look, I don't have to get into Frank Gore again and his ability to just be around most of the time. But at the end, Joseph Addai is 17th on this list. He did not play that long. He played 6 years in the NFL. Do you think by the end of Clyde Edwards-Alaire's career, he will have more or less than 5,900 yards from scrimmage gold?
Say that again?
Do you think that Joseph Addai will have more, or that Clyde Edwards-Alaire will have more or less than 5,900 yards from scrimmage in his career?
Oh, more. Yeah, over.
Okay, so it's like that's all you have to do to be in the top 15, essentially, in this list. They're going to be fine.
So there you go. That's the a little bit of the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Normally, we would go full half hour, but obviously, we're off the air at noon, and so let's talk some more Royals baseball before we hand things off to Vern. Do you have another jingle real quick, though, for me?
I mean, I just have all the other ones.
Is it another one about Angel?
I don't have any new ones.
Okay, because Angel Hernandez, of course,
he's going to find... 3 minutes. Do you just want to hear jingles for the end?
I mean, that's fine. Angel Hernandez, he's going to find a way at third base to make himself part of the game today. That's a given, right?
You know he's going to be behind the plate for Daniel Lynch's next start, right? I didn't mean to put everybody in a bad mood.
Because they don't travel as much,
right? They don't travel.
He's here for the entire homestand.
Angel Hernandez will be here for the entire homestand. Angel Hernandez will be the umpire behind the plate for Saturday's game in which Daniel Lynch will pitch.
Jeez. God, he's here all week.
Angel Hernandez sucks in every single way. Why do I have to watch him every single day? While he guesses and prays, why don't we just go ahead and fire him right now? I needed one more note there, but it's pretty close.
Now? I mean, Angel Hernandez was awful. As we know, he's become the biggest story out of the series, and he likes it that way. That's exactly his intention. So I'm sure he'll find a way to get involved this afternoon. Why would it surprise you? And I forgot about the whole travel thing. That sucks. He's going to be here all week.
Yeah. Look, I've got bad news, Kansas City. As much as the 4-game losing streak hurts, you're going to have to keep
watching. Even the Indians play-by-play guy, Tom Hamilton, listen to the call of the hit-by-pitch and all the ejections.
How embarrassing is that for Major League Baseball and this umpiring crew?
Well, I know you said you thought Terry Francona might not make it to the next inning or out of that argument as he was talking it over, but he might have just thrown up his hands and said, if that's the explanation, what do you say at that point?
I guess the question would be, how do you still have a job?
And he still does, and he's not going to lose his job anytime soon. Because this is, while we're talking about in Kansas City, this goes on multiple times a year with him. Multiple times a year. There'll be another instance, whether it's today,
multiple times
this
in
homestand.
This series.
Yeah, this series has been ridiculous. But like this, whether you're a Yankees fan, a Red Sox fan, whoever, everybody knows the name Angel Hernandez. And it's all for negative reasons. And he makes himself way too much a part of the game. And then you don't have New York willing to actually change a call on the hit-by-pitch. Come up with some ridiculous excuse. Oh, it hit the jersey. Come on, anybody can watch it. It didn't hit the jersey. If you want to say it hit somewhere else,
maybe it grazed a pinky.
Not the jersey.
Maybe.
Though. Not the jersey.
But the ball call was probably right, but it's a lead up, man. I can't just be like, oh, you finally got that one call right after you said you guessed on one the night before, got a call wrong on a hit by pitch, had an inconsistent zone again. Like it's just there's just no way. I'm not having that conversation with you, Angel. Like, you're not allowed to bring those things up. Like, the one time you got it right when you were wrong the 9 times before it. Looking forward to seeing what he'll do today.
They need Duffy to keep pitching the way. Yeah, he's been awesome. Absolutely awesome this year. But boy, oh boy, they need it to continue today to avoid a 4-game sweep at the hands of the Cleveland Indians. And at that point in time, could drop, to third place, depending on how things go. Indians obviously
like
would.
That.
Well, I don't. Just that's what's on the line today.
We're thinking optimistically. Duffy, 6 innings, 1 run in the dub. Really, the bullpen is still scary in there.
I need it to be
10-1 after 6, just so I don't have to sweat it for a day.
The way the bullpen's pitched, you feel like you got to get 6+. Absolutely have to.
The final word.
All right, we're off a little early today because Royals baseball at 1 o'clock. Vern's On Deck show coming up in just a few minutes here on 610 Sports Radio. I've been telling you guys about DuriVision, though. the last couple of days. I am very excited. As soon as we get off the air today, I'm going head over to Dury Vision. The glasses, this will be the last show you ever see me wear glasses.
It will be the, you'll see me in glasses tomorrow.
I'm going to, like, during the show, I have to stare at you as we're talking. Like, tomorrow might be a little too much. Like, it's going to be crystal clear now. I'm going to see, like, every detail of your, I'm going to see better than I ever have. I cannot wait. I've been wanting to get LASIK for a long,
long time. You're always kind of funny anyway, too, because you wear glasses in the morning because clearly you just don't want to deal with the contacts.
Well, that's the thing.
But anytime Gold's trying to, like, impress somebody, like he's going to be with other work people, around a girl or anything, he always puts in the contacts.
That's right. And in the morning, contacts are a pain in the butt. I can throw those away. So I'm very, very excited heading out to Dury Vision. They've been awesome throughout the entire process. I thought I wasn't even eligible at one point. And turns out, yeah, technology improves, Cody. We're good to go.
That's weird. That's good to go. Good to go. Please don't screw anything up today, Angel Hernandez. Angel Hernandez sucks in every single way. Why do I have to watch him every single day? While he guesses and prays, why don't we just go ahead and fire him right now?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.